me to Romans 8, 26 through 28. Romans 8, 26 through 28. And this is my favorite scripture. The entire Bible comes out of this pericope, this body of verses here. And I want to thank you for joining us as we look at these verses on this morning. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we know he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And again, my favorite scripture out of all the 66 books of the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want to talk this Sunday morning about some things we know. Some things we know. If you were born before 1955, you'll remember November 22nd of 1963, when John Fitzgerald Kennedy was killed in Dallas, Texas. If you were again born before 1955, you probably can now think and remember it at the exact spot where you were when you found out that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated on November 22nd of 1963. Again, if you were born before 1955, you remember the exact spot you were when you were listening to the radio. Maybe your family had been able to buy a TV. And you found out on April the 4th of 1968 that our Moses, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was assassinated on the second floor balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. If you were born again during that time or were alive, that moment, that sight has been forever ingrained in your mind. For my generation, when we were born before 1980, you remember where you were on January the 28th of 1986 when the Challenger spaceship blew up. I remember being in Mrs. Ness's class in middle school, in English class, and they brought in, back then you had to bring in the TV, you had to roll in. Can I get a witness in there? You had to roll in that big box TV with the Betamax VCR tape underneath. And I remember them rolling that thing in so we could watch the Challenger go off. And after that thing blew up, they quickly cut off the TV. But they couldn't cut off that memory. Help me, somebody. And I remember, will ever remember where I was, what time it was, and how I felt when I saw that spaceship blow up with the first teacher whoever was able to be commissioned as an astronaut go up in space. And all of us who are alive today will never forget where we were on September the 11th of 2011 when we found out that those two airplanes went into World 1 and World 2 when they ran into the World Trade Center, and we knew that our country was being attacked by terrorists. Another plane went down in Philadelphia. Another plane hit the Pentagon. For all of us living right now, I know exactly where I was. I was in the jewelry warehouse buying some pendants for my mom and watching on their TV. And I never forget that day and trying to figure out, is it safe for me even to leave and go back to work and go back to the funeral home? Should I need to stay right where I am? Is that whole country under attack? Those things that happen and what's going on right now, and this moment in our lives right now, will forever be ingrained in our memories. But even before today, even before then, this country has been spiraling out of control. control, that so many people dealing with fear and so many people dealing with anxiety, because a whole lot of people just don't know what America is all about anymore and what we stand for. So many things are changing. The world is changing, and there's so much calamity going on, so much crime going on. Now everybody's got ADT. Now everybody's got a burglar alarm system. Now everybody's got cameras watching the outside and the inside of your home, and you better be very careful about that camera watching the inside of your home, because if you walk, then somebody else can watch it too. But we're so scared. We got locks on every door. We got burglar alarm systems. We got our fences on every place. Everybody's got a fence in their backyard. It used to be a point in America that everybody was on the front porch because everybody spoke to one another. But now we got these hidden fences, these barriers, because you don't want to talk to your neighbor. But you need to know who your neighbor is, because a saved neighbor is a safe neighbor. But now we want to border ourselves and don't want to have any community relations. And now is the time when we need friends. It's the time now, but we just don't know what's going on, what's going to happen next, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in our own country. There's so much fear, so much calamity. Nothing seems sacred anymore when some people are trying to take under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and stopping prayer at football games and stopping prayer at basketball games. And every time I pray and every time I'm invited to pray at a sporting event, they tell me I cannot pray in the name of Jesus. I've got to turn in my prayer early so they can look at it and sanitize it and make sure it's all right. And even though I'm not allowed to say under the name of Jesus and in the name of Jesus in the prayer vocally and publicly, as soon as I finish underneath my breath, I say in the name of Jesus. There's so many things going on. Babies having babies. Our children smoking marijuana just like their regular cigarettes. Men wanting to be women and women wanting to be men. In our country now, embracing same-sex marriage. There's so many things that are so weird and so different. Now, we just don't know what's going on in the world anymore. And so, again, people are scared. People are have anxiety. People just don't know. And a lot of us have even lost our faith. We wonder so many times, as the song said, how can a good God bring about calamity? How can a good God bring about all this death? It's the question we call in theology, theodicy. Theodicy is understanding, why do bad things happen? And why does God's permissibility allow bad things to happen? It's the same question that Job asked throughout his whole book. Why do bad things even happen to good people? And just because you're a Christian does not mean that bad things won't happen in your life. Just because you're a Christian don't mean that you're going to have to go through the vicissitudes of life. Just because you have all the faith in the world don't mean that you won't get in an accident, that you won't get sick, that you won't have low funds, that you won't have ends meet, that you might even get evicted from your house. But if you are a Christian, you have a partner that's going to help you through everything. Nothing seems right in the world anymore. But I want to thank God today for the Apostle Paul, that gives us some definition to understanding what is going on right now and where our faith needs to be and how sometimes the Lord is working. You know Paul, that diminutive tent maker from Tarsus. You know Paul, who wrote 13 letters and epistles that gives us the understanding of the embryonic understanding of the faith. You know Paul, who wrote to the church at Corinth, who wrote to the church at Ephesus, who wrote to the church of Thessalonians, who wrote especially to the church of Rome, where we get most of our understanding of Christian doctrine. It is at Rome, the center of the entire universe. It is at Rome, which was the seat of the nexus of the nexus of Nero. It was at Rome where Imperium, Turbus Imperium, they called it, the center of the entire world. It was Rome where Cicero played. It was at Rome that he says, we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. Thank God the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings which we cannot understand. As he's there in Rome, and he's not there yet in Rome when he writes to Rome, but fate would have it that he would be in prison later in Rome, but he sends his faith up ahead. He sends his faith up ahead, says, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know sometimes how to even get a prayer through, and sometimes I don't know what to even pray for, but I do know that there's another spirit, that there's a third part
part of the Trinity who makes intercessions for me that I don't know what's even going on. And that's why after reading Romans, I don't think that I have any original prayers, that everything I'm praying for, that the Holy Spirit has already told me what I need to be praying for, that the Holy Spirit is working what we call the graveyard shift. The Holy Spirit is working at night while you're sleeping, telling you in your dreams, telling you in your consciousness, telling you in your spirit, this is what you need to be thinking about, because this is what God is about to bring in your life, and you need to be ready for it when it comes. He says the Holy Spirit makes utterance for us with groanings, with articulation, with verbiage that we cannot even understand. And he's not talking about speaking in tongues. He's talking about what's going on behind the scenes, even when we don't know. And I tell you, God is working right now behind the scenes. The doctors can't figure it out. The scientists can't figure it out. The nurses can't figure it out. Even especially our president and this government can't figure it out. But I trust the word of God, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is working it out right now. We can't see it. We can't feel it. We ain't heard it. But there's some utterances. There's some groanings. There's some things going on right now. That's why you got to be continuously in prayer, listening to God, thinking with God, dealing with God, asking God, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell this country? What are you trying to tell this world? Because he's working on our behalf right now. I want to give you a minute to take a praise break right now and thank God that he's worked some things out in your life. This ain't the first time we've been through trouble. This ain't the first time we've had a pandemic or epidemic. This ain't the first time we've had death. This is something we've been through before, and if God has brought us through it before, he's definitely going to bring it through us again. Give God praise right now, knowing that your blessing is on the way, and if you pray, he'll tell us how to work this thing out. That's why you've got to pray to understand what God is telling you for your life. A lot of people might ask, you know, Chris, how have you had so much success in your life at a young age? And it's not because of my last name, not because of my parents' resources. It's simply because I followed my script. I followed my script. I took advantage of everything that God placed in my life. Yes, and not a silver spoon. I was born with a gold spoon, and I've been chopping down on that gold spoon all my life, and I'm not going to make any choices or any decisions take me away from the destiny that God has got for me. Everybody understands this. That everybody understands how prayer works. And let me tell you how it works. It's just like when you get that new credit card in the mail. When you get a new credit card in the mail, you're going to have a little strip on it, and it's going to tell you a number that you got to call to activate the card. It's going to have your name. It's going to have your credit card number. But on the back of that card, there's a black strip. You can't see nothing on that black strip. You can't know what's on the black strip because it's a black strip. But when you dip that thing to the reader knows everything on that black strip. The reader knows your name. The reader knows your address. The computer knows how much credit you got. The computer knows how much you can buy. But the only way for the black strip to work is that you call the number on the front of the car to activate the strip. And there is a number for every Christian. It's 1-1-1-1 for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And whatever God has got for you is already there in your destiny. It's already there in your heart. You just got to activate what God has got for you by calling on his name, by praying with him, and understanding that everything, somebody say everything, is going to work out for my good. God says, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And we know, after not knowing what we should pray for, watch Paul, after not knowing what's going to happen, after not knowing how this thing is going to turn out, after not knowing how many more people will get infected, after not knowing how many more people will die, after not knowing how much longer we're going to be on quarantine, after not knowing how long I'm going to keep my job, after not knowing how I'm going to pay my rent, after not knowing how, if I'm going to feed my family, after not knowing how will I be able to get out of this house, after not knowing when I get to go back to the house of the Lord, after not knowing what's going to happen in our lives right now, after not knowing how long I've got to sanitize my hands and wear a face mask, after not knowing if my preconditions with diabetes and high blood pressure and bronchitis and asthma makes me susceptible for the coronavirus, after not knowing all that, Paul says, we know that all things work together. They don't work in isolation. They don't work separately. They don't work without each other. That's why if you've ever tried to make some Kool-Aid, and you take that Kool-Aid and unwrap that Kool-Aid and snap that thing off, and you pour the Kool-Aid in the jug, and you go to your pantry and you ain't got no sugar, you got to pour that Kool-Aid out. Because Kool-Aid and water can't work without the sugar. I wish I had a witness right now. Kool-Aid powder and water cannot work without the sugar. It don't work together. All things got to work together. But once you put the Kool-Aid and the water and the sugar together, then you got you a good drink. Can I get a witness? You got you a sweet drink. And anybody know the Savior I serve is sweet, I know. Only thing you got to do is taste him, and you know he's sweet, I know. But them things can't work apart. They got to work together. That's why he says, all things work together for my good. And even in the midst of tragedy, some good things are going to come out of this. You know, we didn't respect our military veterans and our EMTs and our first responders until 9/11. After 9/11, our country had a greater appreciation for men and women who serve our country. Pink ribbon, I mean yellow ribbons all over. Ticker tape parades when they come back from wars. Benefits now. Better service at hospitals. They even get to get on the plane first now. People give up their first class seats now because of their service. We didn't respect them after Vietnam, but God had to take us through some pain in order for us to give them the respect that they're due. After my good friend Clemente Pinckney lost his life in that great tragedy down in Charleston, that Confederate flag came down. That Confederate flag that we've been trying for years, almost 30 years, to get off our state grounds. The blood of Clemente Pinckney allowed that flag that stood for racism and oppression and degradation of African-American citizens of that state had to come down. Now there's no visible symbol of racism, still racism, but no visible symbol of the power of racism in our state. Sometimes, well, most all the time, after some great tragedy comes some great good. And after this great tragedy of corona, there's going to be some great good. This church is going to be overflowing. Every church is going to be overflowing. People are going to come back to God and thank God, and people are going to love one another, and people also are going to get this Nebuchadnezzar out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who has not prepared this country for what's going on. God has got to do some things to work some things out that man does not have the power to do. And you better be giving me a witness. I can't hear, I can't see you, but you ought to be giving God a witness right now. Wherever you're after all these problems, after all this chaos, God is going to do a great thing, because all things work together for good. But then God gives us some qualifications. He says it doesn't work for everybody, but you got to qualify. God says it will work out for them who love God, not who play with God, not who tip God, not who come to God's house when the weather is good, but those who really love God, to those who don't need a Christian cheerleader to remind them how good God has been to them, but people who really love the Lord, believe the Lord, and have faith in God, and believe in his son, Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in your son, Jesus Christ, then God says you don't believe in me. And I can't heal the land unless you believe first in my son, Jesus. If you love him, then you love me, then you qualify for all things working together for my good. And then he says you got to be called according to my purpose. God says you got to be called according to my purpose, not your purpose, not what you want to do, not even what the world tells you to do, because some things are not called according to his purpose. Lying is not called according to his purpose. Gossiping is not called according to his purpose. Backbite is not called according to his purpose. Coveting is not called according to his purpose. Lying is not called according to his purpose. Adultery is not called according to his purpose. Homosexuality is not called according to his purpose. Whatever the Bible says is sin is still sin, whether your cousin does or not, whether they have to cook out or not. We love them, we embrace them, but everything ain't called according to his purpose. And God said everything ain't going to work out for your good unless you're called according to his purpose. So stop lying on people. Stop gossiping on people. Stop coveting. Stop doing adultery. Stop fornicating. Stop smoking. You got to be called. Hey! 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 According to his purpose. And that's where God says, after you do those two things, I promise you that all things will begin to work out for our good. And if this country would turn from its wicked ways, then he promised to heal the land. Well, my brothers and my sisters, a lot of things are going on right now in our country. A lot of people are losing their lives right now. And there's going to be, unfortunately, more deaths before this thing gets over. And I know there might be somebody wondering how and where is the good in all this. I can't even go to my loved one's funeral. They said only two people can go. My daddy served in the military 25 years. And now because of this, they won't even give him the 21 gun salute. They believe that in the next few weeks that more people are going to die because of this 6-day, 14-day incubation period where people are just getting it, but the real mentality of, well, vitality will happen and lose their vitality and lose their life, and we're going to have more vitality in the next 12 weeks. They don't have any medicine. They don't have any cure. They don't have any vaccine. Pastor, tell me, where is the good in that? Even before the coronavirus, I was diagnosed with 4th-stage cancer. The doctor said I only have a few months to live. A couple weeks ago, I lost my child in an asthma accident. Well, we knew that he had problems, but the hospital left him in the ER, and my child died in the ER. Even before this, I was laid off, and I don't have any more benefits. Tell me, Pastor, where is the good in all this? They done told me that I can't be evicted from my home. But I got a letter yesterday saying I got 2 days to get out of my home, even though the law says they can't evict me right now. Tell me, Pastor, where is the good in all this? I can't get out to get my medicine. If I don't have my insulin, I might die. Where is the good in all this? I know that there are people dying and there's going to be more death, but I want to tell you there still is some good news for them that believe in the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5:1. And it says, again, for we know if the earthly house of these tabernacles shall be dissolved, there is another building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul told the Romans that we know all things will work together for our good. But then he told the Corinthians, we know that there is another building. And in other words, no matter how this thing turns out, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in his Son, everything is going to work out for your good. You're either going to be good down here, or you're going to be good up there. But anybody know there is? Anybody know there is another building? Paul says, I don't think there is. Paul says, I don't hope there is. Paul says, I heard there is. But Paul says, we know that there is another building. Soon, might be later, but if you love God and you're called according to it. Father's purpose, there is another building. We might not know everything that's going on right now, but we know that all things will work together for them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. And we know that there is another building, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Wherever you are, wherever you find yourself right now, give God praise for His word. Give God praise for His word. And reminding us that in the midst of confusion, if you trust in the word of God, there's some knowledge and there's some things that we know. God, our Father, thank You for Paul. Thank You that Paul has reminded us that this thing's going to work out. Four of the most important words in the Bible is this too shall pass. God, for those of us who believe in You, God, and we're called according to Your purpose, God, we know You're working this thing out right now, God. We know not the day nor the time. We know not long how long it's going to happen. And we don't even believe the reports that it's going to get worse, God. We believe that there's some great things You can do. You can send the wind. You can send the rain. You can send the storm. You can work with things that man does not have the power to work through to get this thing solved and get this thing healed and get this thing out of our country, because we know that this thing moves by the wind, but You control the wind. The droplets have to go through the wind, God, and you can control that wind. You can make that drop that not fall onto their neighbor but fall on the ground and disappear, God. You can destroy this thing right now, God. And so we're trusting You to do it right now, because we know that trouble don't last always, God. For those, God, who have lost their lives, God, and many others truthfully will, others will die. We pray, God, that they know Jesus, so they will have that other building that You promised, that You promised to prepare a place for us where we will be able to go. You're there now. You ask, how can we know where You are? Because we don't know where You are. And You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by You, God. And so, God, we pray for souls right now. And not just for healing, but we pray for souls right now. Because no man knows the day nor the hour when You're going to call their name. It might not be the coronavirus. It could be cancer. It could be a heart attack. AIDS, it could be high blood pressure, it could be diabetes, it could be a stroke, God. Corona ain't the only thing. Other people are dying. We got so fixated on this just one thing, but others still are perishing from other things, God. And that's why our souls have got to be right. Not just having our hands sanitized, but our hearts got to be sanitized, God, so that we might inherit. God, we pray right now for you.